Do you have an issues, etc. story to tell? We want to hear from you. Tell us your issues, etc. story by calling our comment line before Thursday, April 7th, 618-223-8384. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Now, the listener with the best story will receive the first three Issues, Etc. books of the month for this year. 618-223-8384. 618-223-8384.
I asked the members, I said, he donated from his income tax money. Mm-hmm. You understand? I asked, were there any other members, which I know there is, that got income tax money? I asked them what they like to contribute it. There was others who have gotten income tax that could have easily donated $5, $10, $15, didn't donate a dime. And you know why they didn't donate a dime? Because of the same thing that's going on in our church, which is why pastor did not give communion out. You understand? Spiritual thing.
That's Pastor John Goodman. He's pastor of Houston Unity Baptist Church in Texas. He is, well, it's alleged by some of his parishioners anonymously that he refused to give communion because they refused or didn't answer the call when he asked them to give part or all of their income tax return to the church. Well, it is income tax time. People are getting their returns or will be getting their returns. This pastor says, look, we have needs here at this church. The people, he asked, would you give some of your income tax return to the church? The people didn't respond. And there was no communion that Sunday. Now, he says it was because of a deeper spiritual problem that he didn't give communion, only evidenced by or only shown as a symptom by the fact that they wouldn't give their income tax return. That's not how some of his parishioners are seeing it. I want to know how you see it. What do you think of this? What issues does this raise? Questions and comments. It's audio open lines, issues, etc. Live this Tuesday afternoon, the 29th of March. This is how open lines works. We're going to play a little story from Fox News in Houston. Then we're going to hear from you, your questions, comments, and reaction to a pastor who is allegedly refusing communion to his congregation after a call for income tax returns to be given to the church. What he wants to pay for is a parking lot across the street for the church. And he says, look, the reason I withheld it was because spiritual problems. We'll hear him describe it in more graphic terms in the Fox News piece here in just a moment. Our call-in numbers live this Tuesday afternoon, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, we get it right here in real time, talkback at issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at issuesetc or leave your comment, question, reaction at our Facebook fan page. We've left some room there for you to do it as well. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Here's the story from Fox News in Houston.
No tax refund, no communion. That's the claim coming from some at a small Houston church. Isaiah Carey here now with the story. It is strange sounding, Isaiah.
Very strange story, Tom. Now, it's one of those stories that may be hard to believe, but it has rocked the small, intimate congregation to its core. That's why the person we talk with in this interview doesn't want their identity revealed.
When it comes to church, communion is supposed to be a part of the service. It's expected, but not on this Sunday.
It seemed like we were all looking at each other still in amazement, like, what is really happening?
This person we'll call James says he was shocked at what he witnessed on First Sunday here at Houston Unity Baptist Church. It was just before communion when James says a pastor asked church members a question.
He said, okay, well, for all of those that are getting a tax refund, how many of you are going to give it to the church? No one said anything. He said, I'll ask again, how many of you are going to give your tax refund to the church? No one said anything.
That's when James said the pastor refused to give them communion.
Because it happened right after he asked for the money and no one responded. And so then he said, okay, I'm not going to serve communion in a church where people's spirits are bad.
Ask for that tax refund on the church. Whoever told you that told you a lie.
All right, there's at least the one side of he said, we'll hear a little bit more from Fox News in Houston on a pastor allegedly refusing communion to his congregation because they wouldn't give their tax refunds. The anonymous parishioner says, look, It sounded pretty simple to me. He asked for the refund. The people didn't give. And in the same service, he refused to give communion. Now, the pastor says it's a lie. He'll explain a little bit more in just a moment. I want your reaction. It's audio open lines, issues, etc. 877-623-MYIE is our call-in number. 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Or leave your comment, your question, your reaction at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc.
This is Reverend John Goodman, the pastor at Houston Unity, leader of the 30-member congregation since 1976.
I will not serve communion to a church full of people with bad spirits.
Everything you said is a lie, all right?
While Reverend Goodman initially denied the claim, he says he did ask about income tax refunds. Goodman says he wanted to know if the congregation would donate like one of the other church members. He gave his refund to start building the church's parking lot.
I asked the members, I said he donated from his income tax money. Mm-hmm. You understand? I asked were there any other members, which I know there is, that got income tax money. I asked them would they like to contribute it over here to the parking lot. That's where the tax money come in at.
Uh-huh.
That had nothing to do with the church.
So let me ask you this, and I completely understand what you're saying, mm-hmm. but did you withhold communion?
Oh, yes, definitely.
But it wasn't tied.
Wasn't nothing to do with no income tax.
All right, we'll get more of the story in just a moment. I want to hear from you. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, listening to a story from Fox News Houston about a pastor who allegedly withheld communion. He says he did ask for the income tax money to be given. He did withhold communion that Sunday from the congregation, but it had nothing to do with the income tax request or the refusal of the people to give. He'll explain in just a moment. It has to do with some are calling the bad spirit that was at work in the congregation. That's why he says he refused to give communion. We'll hear more of the story in just a moment. First, let's talk with Dennis, who's listening in St. Louis. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, how are you, Pastor?
Very well.
Good. I guess my question and her comment is, and that's certainly law, but what's actually being withheld in their church when communion is being withheld? In our church body, we believe in means, so certainly there would be a means of grace being withheld, the body and blood of Christ. But in their church, what would actually be being withheld?
That's a very good question, and I can only go on what the news is reporting as to the affiliation or the confession of this congregation in Houston. It's called Unity Baptist Church in Houston. I would assume that would be kind of mainline, maybe Southern Baptist, maybe some other kind of Baptist. That would probably be, in all likelihood, their teaching of the Lord's Supper would be, it's a memorial meal. It is most certainly not in the way they understand the Lord's Supper. And here they significantly break with the biblical account of the Lord's Supper. But how they would understand the Lord's Supper is, it is not the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It is definitely not a means of grace. It is a meal by which one outwardly shows community with one another, by which one shows faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe, perhaps, they think that they are spiritually communing on the body of Christ. That would be all the farther I think it would ever go, but it would simply be a memorial meal by which they remember the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so you ask, what are they being refused? Well, if they effectively change the institution, which I think in Baptist churches they probably would also change the institution with regard to the elements, at least with regard to the wine, they would replace it with grape juice, and they clearly, clearly deny the words, the plain simple words of institution that Christ gives, by which he gives to us the Lord's Supper, he's just refusing them a memorial meal. It's still it's important to note that most Baptist churches, traditional Baptist churches, still practice closed communion. Now, they do for very interesting reasons, not for the reasons that the historic church has practiced it, but to refuse someone communion in a Baptist church is not unusual at all, just as it shouldn't be in any church that practices history. There are legitimate biblical reasons to refuse someone communion. It's called closed communion. It's a historic practice of the church. Many people don't practice it anymore. But his refusal here seems to be more tied to, well, he says, bad spirit in the church. Let's hear a little bit more from Fox News and let the pastor explain what he thinks the problem in the congregation that led him to refuse communion to his congregation is.
So why did Goodman withhold communion from the members of his congregation? He says members of his church failed to do what's right by unity.
What you're talking about, a church here with four or five folks just doing and 25 devils in it.
That's right. He called members of his flock devils. But Goodman says that out of frustration about a congregation, he says, has yet to step up financially.
You and call 25 your members devils? The demons. Demons?
What do you think they're going to say when they hear this?
Listen, if the ones who come to you all with this, tell them that Reverend said, come and let me pray the demons out of you.
All right, now that's the story. I want to hear from you. It's audio open lines, issues, etc. What do you make of this pastor who allegedly refuses communion to his congregation because they don't give a tax refund? He says no, it's because there's a spiritual problem in the congregation. It's only evidenced by the fact that they won't give. And he went so far as to say it's got a problem with demons and devils in his congregation. 1-877-623-6943. This break is a great time to call and react to this story, and I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet @issuesetc, or leave your reaction at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, March the 29th, and we're getting your reaction to a pastor who says, look, it's a spiritual problem. I'm refusing them communion because there's a deeper spiritual problem. They think it's because of the tax refund, but it isn't. What do you think? 1-877-623-MYIE. You'll find study notes highlighting the promises of God and Jesus' death for you in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, the Faith Alive Student Bible. This full-color Bible for students ages 8 through high school is edited by Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Faith Alive Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Independent and in the black for 2 years and running, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Fighting for life despite the obstacles.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Pro-life commentators often compare the fight to protect human life in all its forms with the abolitionist struggle of an earlier century. In the fight to free American slaves, visionaries from Harriet Tubman to Harriet Beecher Stowe faced obstacles that likely seemed insurmountable. When the Supreme Court of 1857 ruled slaves had no protection under the Constitution, the Emancipation Proclamation of less than a decade later must have seemed light years away. Then, as now, we cannot be assured easy victories, but compelled by conscience, we press on for life.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Audio Open Lines. It's Tuesday afternoon, March the 29th, talking about a pastor who allegedly refused communion to his congregation because they wouldn't give their tax refund to the church. He says, no, it's a deeper spiritual problem. It's a problem with demons and devils in his congregation. He invited them to come to him. He'll pray the demons out of them, and then he'll give them communion again. We have an Issues Etc. 24 coming up. We had one last year. It was what it says it is, 24 continuous hours of Issues Etc., live Bible study, 2 hours on each book of the Bible that we're dealing with, some of the best guests from Friday, 4 p.m., April 8th, to Saturday, 4 p.m., April 9th. That's right, 24 hours of live Issues Etc., in-depth Bible study. We call it Issues Etc. 24. We want you to help us promote it, and we've given you a way to do so. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support right at the top of the page. You're going to find the Issues Etc. 24 bulletin insert for your congregation. It's ready for you to download, print off, take to your church secretary or pastor, give them to them, ask them to get it into the church bulletin this week. The Issues Etc. 24 bulletin insert, issuesetc.org, click support. It's right there at the top of the page. And thanks for help in supporting Issues Etc. 24 this year. Let's go to the phones and talk with Walter, who's calling from his car, listening on KNGN in McCook, Nebraska. Walter, welcome.
Yeah, my question is, why is this pastor using basically guilt to try to get people to give their money, because one person said he would give money, and is this the right thing to do in the beginning?
Walter, thank you very much for listening in, McCook. Well, I mean, it's really a question of, is this how Christian stewardship, Christian giving, should be motivated? Should it be motivated by, well, look at that guy over there. He just gave some money. What about you? Is it motivated from guilt or by saying, look, someone else did it, you should do it too? Well, sad to say, I guess it is fair to say nowadays that in most congregations, that's what they resort to. Guilt. Someone else gave, why don't you? Some congregations, now these are fewer and fewer between, some congregations even publish what everybody gives so that there's kind of a one-upsmanship and a sense of guilt for people at the bottom of the list. Why should people be motivated from God's word to give? There are two reasons. One, need. There's nothing wrong with need. When St. Paul entreats the Christians of his day to give in help of other Christians, he lays before them the need. He says they need it. But first and foremost, it is the great generosity that has been shown to us and the fact that we can freely give because we have freely received. Not gratitude. Gratitude is just an emotion. This is a reality that we have been freely given to, therefore, because all of our needs are met in Christ, we are free to give away what we have to help others in service of our neighbor. It's a very good question, Walter. Thank you very much. Now, before we get to the rest of your reactions, the rest of the story from Pastor John Goodman at Unity Baptist Church in Houston, Texas, on why he's refusing to give communion to his congregation.
In the end, Goodman insists he never withheld communion because members of his church refused to give tax refunds.
Because I know that there was others who have gotten income tax that could have easily donated $5, $10, $15, didn't donate a dime. And you know why they didn't donate a dime? Because of the same thing that's going on in our church, which is why pastor did not give communion out. You understand the spiritual thing.
All right, that's the end of the story. Leaf in Sydney, Montana says, I guess I'm just thinking of 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Maybe I'm using this out of context, but maybe this would be a good place to start. Paul actually begins with the riches of God's grace in Christ. He begins with the fact that Christ, though he was rich, became poor for our sakes, that through his poverty we might be made rich. He begins with the fact that God will supply all your needs through his riches in Jesus Christ, the riches that God has. It's like having the millionaire grandpa who says, I will see to it that you are taken care of. So what do you do with the extra change in your pocket? You have no reason to keep it because you don't need to spend it on yourself. You can give it away in service of your neighbor. That's exactly the principle that God has your needs taken care of. Now the needs of your neighbor should be your concern. Not your own, but the needs of your neighbor should be your concern. That's the principle at work here. And it's actually how Paul gets the other Christians to see the need of their neighbors. Dennis in St. John, Michigan says, I failed to see the problem at this church. It's not like this pastor was depriving the congregation of anything holy. It's just old crackers and grape juice. Since communion for the Baptists observe is just a remembrance, the members could get as much by going home and having a beer for Jesus. That's just about as close as these members will get to a Lutheran understanding of the word holy, as in holy communion. Thank you very much, and thanks for listening in St. John's, Michigan. Let's see what Mike in Kansas City has to say. Mike, welcome.
Yeah, hi, Pastor Wilkin. I wish people listening would consider supporting Issues, Etc. It's a great resource that shouldn't be taken for granted. And, you know, I want to say this concept of mandatory tithing or mandatory giving, it's not uncommon. I mean, there's even a big example of that right here within the LCMS. Jefferson Hills LCMS Church right there in St. Louis, on their website, on their website, they basically say that unless you're willing to give them 10% of your income, that you probably shouldn't become a member of their church. And then they even cite Malachi as being an example of why you should give, because God attaches a specific blessing to that, which is a total eisegesis of Malachi. And let me just add one more thing. There's a word for this kind of mandatory giving. It's called extortion, spiritual extortion. I mean, just think about it. Either you give me 10% of your money or a particular amount of your income, or I'm going to tell God and he's going to withhold his word and sacraments and blessings from you. I mean, this is really a blight on Christianity, in my opinion.
Mike, thanks for listening in Kansas City. Unfortunately, the congregations you mentioned there, I don't know the situation personally, but are probably following the example of many other, sad to say, Lutheran congregations who have resorted to, you're right, spiritual extortion. We actually did a show some years back on the tithe of the Old Testament. It turns out not to be 10%, but if you add it all up in the Old Testament context, it's more like 40%. That's what the ancient Israelites were required to give of all their goods over the course of a year. No church asking for 40%, though. Russ in Allen Park, Michigan says, make a copy of the refund check and tell the pastor that it only represents the real check. Now, that's rather clever. If you want to believe that the Holy Communion only represents Christ rather than is the body and blood of Christ, what about giving them just a copy of the check? Say, here, it just represents the real check. Heather in Escondido, California, says, I read the article, and it sounds like it may be a pastor using withholding communion as church discipline for people not supporting the church as they should. Is this is not giving a regular offering an offense worthy of church discipline? Now, that's a very good question. Hasn't usually been seen that way because of the freedom attached in Scripture to what a person gives, the explicit freedom attached to what a person gives. Heather in Escondido, thank you. Andrew in Upland, California says, unfortunately, stuff like this isn't really a surprise anymore. When you don't believe the Lord's Supper has any meaning or merit, it gets easy to barter with it. Let's see what Joe says. He's calling from his cell. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Todd. I'm a little concerned that Jeff wouldn't let me on the air till I gave him my credit card number. I don't know if that has anything to do with this.
Hey, I have nothing to do with that. You take that up with Jeff.
Okay. I'm wondering if this isn't mixing of the kingdoms in the sense that the church has to be run like a business in the kingdom of the left hand. I mean, it has bills to pay, things like that, and a lot of churches are facing budget problems now. And obviously in the kingdom of the right hand, assuming that communion is what we would understand it to be, that's what that is. And I don't know that you should ever mix the two or cross that line and say, our church is struggling financially, therefore I'm going to withhold the gospel from you. I got a big problem with that.
Well, Joe, and I think your instincts are absolutely correct there. What is it in Scripture that motivates the cheerful, the giving, sometimes even the reckless giving of Christians from beginning to end? What is it? The gospel itself. You say, people aren't given enough. Well, maybe they haven't heard the gospel. If you motivate them with the law, they'll only give what you demand that they give. If you require 10%, that's all the more they're going to give. Or they might give 11% if they want to, you know, they figured out your little scheme. You're really bartering with the favor of God. You're saying you can buy it. It's 10%. God does not care about percentages. Believe it or not, he doesn't care about percentages. What does he care about? He cares about faith. He wants people to trust him. And those who trust him turn out to be those who also give in service of their neighbor. When they realize that God has their back, they are willing to have someone else's back. They don't sit there worrying about where it's coming from. All of us suffer from guilt in respect to giving. All of us should, because we never give as we have been given to. But guilt is not the motivator, never should be. It is, as Paul would say, God's riches in Christ Jesus, which God says are all ours for Christ's sake. All of them are ours for Christ's sake. Daniel in Iowa City, one last thought. He says, lay people need to confront their pastor, not tattletale to the press. From everything I've gathered, shunning the congregation from communion appears to be a passive-aggressive manner of getting his point across. Otherwise, if they hold out the traditional Baptist view, they're not really missing out on anything other than symbolism. Smartest listeners in radio, and thanks for listening in Iowa City, Daniel. When we come back, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, columnist for Christianity Today magazine, will join us. We're going to talk about doubt. Stay tuned.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as his baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
How would you like to receive a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, and for any size gift during the Lenten season, we'll send you a CD with two sermons. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift, before Easter Sunday, we'll send you a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal is out. It contains an article that I've written titled The Theology of Jesus. What's the connection between the Church's Confession of Christ and her Confession of the Trinity? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. journal. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Mason Beecroft writes about the false promises of Pop American Christianity. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.